Good evening. It is my absolute honor and privilege to speak before you today. This is my very first real sermon or lesson, and Munden has agreed to do a split lesson with me, and I'm very appreciative for him willing to put up with me. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. And I will be beginning in verse 52. There is no 2 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Off to a great start. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Going on to verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting her name. You were baptized this morning. Jenity, yep. Jenity and Malik's, correct. I could not have picked a better day to choose this sermon because this is all about the joy that we know is coming when Christ our Lord will return to this earth and take us up to be with him in the clouds. I want to go back and look at verse 52. I'll read it again. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, this is a pretty common verse when talking about Jesus coming. And I'm sure that we've all heard it many times. But for a moment, I want to talk about these words. "In the twinkling of an eye." The NLT, I'm not sure what that stands for, but the NLT version says "the blink of an eye." We all know what that is. When our eyelids close and we blink. I want to look at three things today. Number one, what does this twinkling of an eye mean? We're going to look at some scientific examples, some bodily functions, some things from nature that could correlate to this. Number two, one thing that is faster than this twinkling of an eye, which is what this verse is referring to, is Christ's coming. And number three, I want to kind of delve into the idea of time management, what we should do with the time that we have while we are here on this earth, before that twinkling of an eye when Jesus comes. Let's look at some scientific examples of what a twinkling of an eye, as it says in 1 Corinthians, might mean. We know that a blink, a physical blink that we do every day, nearly every 3 seconds, is 400 milliseconds. For the brain waves in our cranium to reach our eyes and commit that action of blinking, it takes 400 thousandths or 2/5 of a second. I was very surprised to find this out. And please proof check me because I may be wrong about this. But I found, scientists have seen that a finger snap is actually faster than this. Finger snap for the brain signals in your head to move down your arm to your fingers and snap takes 7/1000 or 7 milliseconds of a second. Even going on further to talk about the speed of light, when light travels around this room, or sound travels around this room, light travels at 186,282 miles per second. That is pretty fast. For the light from, you know, the ceiling lights, or from phones, or even the sun, to reach our eyes, it's traveling, the photons are traveling around this room at just dizzying speeds, and it's incredible. And even going on further to talk about things that we as humans cannot measure, such as the synapses and neurons in our brain, even scientists cannot explain why we have emotions, why we have the start of these brain cycles. These are some of the fastest things in nature. The speed of light, speed of blink, a snap, speed of sound. But one thing will be faster than all of us. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. To supplement this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Second Peter 3:10, very similar. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now both of these verses are talking about and mention the words, a thief in the night. I want to put it to you for a second. We all know that robberies can happen. We all know that some people, when they want to break into your house and take something, sometimes they do. My family and I, we can sit in the living room on the couch watching a television, and really, I mean, I don't know how often we have the door locked, but anyone could just walk in and rob us. And we know that these things do exist. We have seen maybe on the news some drastic story about someone coming into someone else's home. And Lord forbid that this should happen to anyone, because it is a frightful experience. But we know that it does exist and it can happen. But we never expect it. We go about our daily lives, you know, brushing our teeth, going to bed, waking up, having meals, and we never expect a break-in. I believe that this is what 1 Thessalonians and 2 Peter are talking about when it comes to the Lord coming. We know in the scriptures that it's going to happen. It says in multiple other instances of the Bible that it's going to happen. We know that it exists. We know that there are movies and TV shows about it. Pureflix, my father and I like to watch Pureflix. There's hundreds of movies about the coming of Christ. And yet we never expect it to come. We go about our daily lives. Maybe we're at work. Maybe for younger ones like I, we're at school. And, you know, Jesus is not going to come at this moment. I have to finish my test or I need to go finish my book that I'm writing, or I need to finish this project that I'm working on at work. Christ coming is inevitable. It's going to happen. And I'd like to put it to you, brethren, that for a moment, if you have the ability to, just look up at that sky. I like to think of that if Christ, and of course his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, I definitely don't know that this is going to happen. But if he does come in the nighttime, think about it. Normal life, going through the motions, and you look up at that sky, and instant, and in a twinkling, blink of an eye, snap of a finger, speed of light, lights up like daytime. Maybe not even daytime, maybe it's white, or really bright gold, and suddenly he says, time is over, at an instant. Why does this matter? What should we do with this information? Please turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now all of these have to do with specific things that I have chosen for us to do with this time. But a little bit of a cool thing is that every one of these verses that I'm going to be showing you, or at least most of them, include the word instant. And that is why I've labeled this sermon Twinkling Instant. Going further on to the instant things, I believe that instant is not only an adjective, but also a noun. There is an instant, and that is that twinkling of an eye, snap of a finger, blink of an eye. And we should be instant, thinking about it all the time, thinking about it in the back of our conscious, thinking about it and doing it. 2 Timothy 4:2 here says that we should preach the word and be instant in season. Furthermore, Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Preach to others instantly. Pray for others instantly. These are things that we should be instant for in the instance that we have. Finally, and this may seem a bit out of place, but please bear with me. Please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Jeremiah 18:1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight that obey not my voice, then I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Going and looking back at verse 6. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? For as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. We can see songs. I can't think of the specific instance. My apologies. We see sing songs about I am the potter, thou art the clay. We sing songs, and we can see that instances like this where it's talking about conforming to God's will for your life appear many times in the Bible. What I want to take away from this is, with these instants that we take for granted that just fly by. You can look at the watch on your wrist, or maybe you have your phone and, you know, it's the clock app and you can see the little seconds ticking down. I like to think that every one of those seconds, 1,001 of those chances for Jesus to come, just fly by. I mean, do we really stop and think about them? With these instants, we should fulfill God's will for our lives because we never know the instant in which Christ will return. In an instant, we could be with our Lord. And in that same instant, one person, just one, would be without the hope that we cherish, when we could have, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, shared with them the reason of the hope that is within us. While we are not expected to waste our lives by watching the seconds tick by, we should take these instants with great sobriety. And as Jesus says in Mark 16:15, as some call the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," because every instant that goes by, one person doesn't know either the terror that lies in those unsaved seconds or the hope that is just a baptism away from them. I'll now turn the lesson over to Mundo.